back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. All of our wise conversations can be found out in our audio vault and our podcast audio vault. And this is going to be a fun one this week because we are doing our Maryland Crab Cake Tour at Nick's, the Grandstand Grill in Timonium. And it's, you know, I've said serendipity has been the way this has gone down the whole time. I'm going to welcome John Martin on from the Maryland Lottery and Gaming, the director who joins us every week. We have some fun around here. And hey, it was fun on Monday night. I mean, you know, winning at the Ravens game and throwing the football and all that. So, you know, I let myself play, so I'm having a good time. How are you this week? Doing all right?
Doing well, thank you. You know, these short weeks are tough for us. I mean, Monday with a holiday and you know, we try to cram 5 days into four. So, you know, there's a little bit of angst to get through the work week. We'll be fine.
I have the same issue because the Ravens game on Monday night weirds my whole, like, I've been talking to everybody, like 1 o'clock Sunday is when it's supposed to happen. And if it doesn't happen then, but let me say this. So 1 o'clock Sunday this week, because they didn't play, there's a big group that throws an event called Rockin' at the Races with the Beverage Association, my friends over King Discount Liquors, will also sell some lottery shills about cashing out. And I was out there and I ran into so many local people and I ran into Tommy who's got the place. So I said, hey, I'm doing the crab cake tour. Oh, we got the best crab cake. I'm like, I know 100 people told me this. So we're going to have the crab cake this week. The Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery. Let yourself play. We're going to be at Nick's and I've rescheduled the mayor. So you don't even know all this. Like last week we had the mayor and then the mayor got COVID. I moved it to Mother's and as serendipity would have it at Mother's, I had four women business owners. I invited some guys. Bettis didn't post. Jason Zink, I'm out to find you. Arsh, everybody else down there. But I had like the greatest conversation. So this week we're out at a place that I want to talk about sports wagering with you. So is it appropriate? Is the time right now to talk about sports wagering?
There is no bad time to talk about sports wagering, and it is it's getting interesting as you know, people around the state are all very, very anxious. You know, Nestor, you're well aware that you go back to November of 2020 with the referendum and the voters overwhelmingly by a 2-1 margin. Told us loud and clear that they wanted sports wagering here in the state of Maryland. And when you look at it, we're kind of like Switzerland, right? I mean, all the states around us have sports wagering, and we're sitting here in the middle of that without being able to offer that.
So well, New York's having the problem with Jersey people just driving over with a phone, right? Like that's where we've – and it – you know, it feels like nobody had a real plan 25 years ago for exactly how any of this technology would work, right? And I think working through that and the protections necessary, I mean, baseball's trying to figure out how to, like, can we wager pitch by pitch? And I'm thinking, if you're at the horse track, when does the bell ring? And like, I keeping these things fair. And I keep talking to you about it and being on the up and up, because I think people that play games of chance, all they want to know is it's a fair game. It's a fair game.
Exactly. Exactly. As I tell people, you know, what we sell is not a lottery ticket. It's not a scratch off game. What we sell is integrity. And if the people ever lose that feeling that the games are fair and up, and if you've lost the integrity, then the whole thing just topples. So, you know, it's going to be fun. It's going to be interesting. We are now in the process where we have, as Maryland Lottery and Gaming, we have qualified three of the locations that are already named in legislation. There were 18 locations, Nestor, that were written into the law that would be the first available locations to sell and sports wagering at their brick and mortar locations. And the whole idea of mobile betting is way downstream. I mean, we're talking several months away from putting that in place.
See, that doesn't fit. You're like way downstream. I'm like years. You're like, no, months. And I'm like, what? Well, that's not way downstream. Like really isn't, well, right?
It's double digit
months.
It is
if you want to bet on the game this weekend, I guess.
Exactly. Right. So it's, you know, we're working as hard as we can, as quickly as we can to get these places up and running. The three locations that we've qualified right off the bat are Live Casino and Hotel down at Arundel Mills, MGM National Harbor, and the Horseshoe Casino in downtown Baltimore.
I have frequented all three. I've had pizza and fun and concerts, you know, all that, right?
Yeah. So now what we've done is we've passed along to our newly created Sports Wagering Application Review Commission, which is an acronym called SWARC. And SWARC now needs to take what we've handed them, approve those, award the license. That then comes back to us, where we then need to go site visits and make sure the equipment's in place, the back office systems are in place, the integrity, the player controls and protections are in place before they can actually start selling sports wagering at those venues. But we're probably still late fall, early winter. So, yeah, I wouldn't run out there to put anything on that this weekend's game.
Well, listen, we've all been to Vegas. And, I've been on the radio 30 years. Next month, it'll be 30 years. Birthday this week, anniversary, it doesn't come to – and I don't know that I celebrate them the same way as I get older here. I just let my hair grow and try to shave less. And we've all been to Vegas. We've all been in these books. We've all been, Atlantic City always kind of wanted it. And then you and I have talked about all the illicit stuff that went on in the aughts where, people are calling me from Costa Rica and radio and the FCC. I mean, all of that, because is it on the up and up? Who's in on it? How is this benefiting humanity? This can't be a side alley hustle. So part of that for you in saying these three big casinos, these are the places that have infrastructure that do this. These are the people that know the rules. These are the people that have done it in lots of other places. I would think that this is sort of the training ground for you as the director of Maryland Lottery and gaming, right? And being the referee to say, these are places that have been doing this on the up and up for 30, 40, 50 years in some cases as an entity in other jurisdictions, but to bring it here and have it be something everybody has confidence in. You can't do 18 at once, right? I mean, like, this is a phase-in kind of thing, right?
Well, you know what? There would be people who would differ with that. And I love the interview you had recently with Delegate Rosenberg. I mean, that was a great bit of reporting and information shared by Delegate Rosenberg. And the intent really behind the law is to bring to the party small businesses, minority-owned businesses, women-owned businesses to share equally in the benefits of being part of the sports wagering landscape. And that's going to be a challenge for a number of reasons. As you've already correctly alluded, you look at the large casinos, I mean, they have the infrastructure in place to do that. And it may be a challenge for some of these smaller businesses who aren't in that space necessarily, or there may be a lottery retailer and they want to expand what they do into sports wagering. And that's a little different mindset. It's a little different.
Well, yeah, I was going to ask you about that because it's different than selling a lottery ticket, which my friends at Royal Farms, I'm wearing the shirt, my friends at Wise, and we'll get to the winners and $10,000 prizes and all that stuff. I got to give Rob Santoni a hard time because the other Wise store won. we got to even it up. But it is different. I mean, it's a different business. I've been in a few of these places. I do friendships with longstanding friendships with people involved who want to do this, who are also very much learning, as this goes along, as they how this isn't some crazy back. This is a regulated, serious, important thing. And I keep going back to the league and I sit here and give the NFL a hard time all the time and saying, you guys better make sure your pass interference is pass interference when people are in your establishment. So all of the up and up is concerning. And as somebody sits here and talks about it, and I'm not a sports wagerer, but I know a few. And this will be a nice, great thing if it's done the right way. It will be. It'll be something everybody I know who wagers will want to participate in and be a part of. But they have to have confidence for sure.
Yeah, and patience goes a long way here. I know there are lots of people who are anxious to get into this marketplace, but it's going to take a little bit of time yet. There's a lot of work to do between the SWARC, Maryland Lottery and Gaming, making sure that everything is managed properly and the integrities and the controls are in place. The player protections are in place.
Define that for me, because I mean, you're the director, I'll stop you to say, tell me what you're concerned about. Like what could go wrong? And what are the things you're like, these are the things that are not keeping you up at night, but things that need to get buttoned up that an audience would understand, where you'd say, oh, I understand now why it's not open this week. All right. Give me the next 6 months or 12 months of what an ideal situation would be that's ideal. That's perfect for everybody.
Sure. Well, again, as we look at the landscape, we already know the casinos are in place, already regulated. They already have gaming licenses from Maryland Lottery and Gaming. But the facility operators for sports wagering, and these are people that are recognized names to your listeners, FanDuel, DraftKings, BetMGM, those entities, while they're fundamental to this process, have never been licensed in Maryland. So they have to go through the integrity and the background checks and the licensing procedures. And we're in process with all of those entities. But then when they're in place, you have to make sure that the gaming environments, because again, we're still talking about brick and mortar locations, that that everything works in that environment. And it's the same process we went through, Nestor, when the casinos came on board 10 years ago and over the last 10 years. I mean, we're required to go out there and test the systems to make sure the equipment works, that the payouts are what they're supposed to be, that players can facilitate their way to getting the purchase of the wager and the payment of the wager, and that all manages. And clearly, when you're talking to a National Harbor at MGM, or you're talking to a Horseshoe Casino or Live, I mean, that's their business, right? And quite frankly, if you were to ask them point blank, they don't see a lot of incremental revenue coming from sports wagering. They're using it as really filling out their menu.
Well, you don't bet as fast. You know, it goes back to the right. Can you bet on a pitch, or can you bet on the next play being a pass or a run? Like that's what blackjack and games like that are. Exactly. And I think, you know, for you, whether it's Keno or just I want to play once a day, a three digit back 30 years ago, you're offering the whole casino of fast games, or let's sit and have a beer and bet on a game and cheer for 3 hours for my dollar or $100 or whatever it would be, right?
Right. And you look at all these entities, and it goes down to our friend Chris at Greenmount Station as well, who was an off-track betting entity and was named in the legislation as being one of the initial locations to have sports wagering. I think Chris would even agree. I mean, you can't compare Chris's enterprise with MGM National Harbor, right? I mean, there's a little bit of scalability there, but it doesn't mean Chris should be disenfranchised or not have the opportunity to partake in the business and do well for him. So we've got to make sure that all of these 18 named entities, of which Pimlico and Laurel actually share one license, so there's 17 licenses, they can all get off the ground, get running, get operational, get some momentum, establish that, and then we can turn our focus to the mobile licenses and the other non-named brick and mortar locations, because there are people who want to be in that marketplace that aren't named by law, but they still want to have a brick and mortar location. So we have to turn our attention to them. And that is where I'm talking about. That could easily be all of calendar year 22 before we sort through all of that.
Man, well, there's a football season that starts in September. John Martin is here. He is the director of the Maryland Lottery and Gaming. You mentioned, you know, being able to drive across the bridge or across the road and be able to do this. And again, I'm a neophyte at this because I've been involved inside of sports. Part of that was like, you're not going to be in the locker room if you're betting on the games or looking for insight. Sure. That was part of my insider information as to why, if you want a press pass, you can't be in here. You can't be a bookie. You know what I mean? Right. Like, and I've dealt with that for 30 years. So therefore I was never a part of it, but I have plenty of friends, Delaware, this or Vegas, that, or wherever they would go. Is there a state that did it in sort of the way you're modeling it after? Because I travel around, and again, I'm not seeking that out. I'm going to the game itself most of the time when I'm traveling, but I'm trying to think if I've been driving down dusty highways, and I mean, I've been in Nebraska and Iowa and Missouri in the last couple of weeks, and I've been in Las Vegas where it's very obvious. Yeah. So obvious, I don't know where the beginning of it was, but I'm thinking for most other places outside of Vegas, they had this political debate at some point, some more recent, some more still fighting it off. But how this gets done, best practices, I guess, is what I'm asking in rolling it out. Is there something that is a North Star for how to do this the right way, so it does get done the right way?
Yeah, you know, the challenge with that, Nestor, is really fundamentally comes down to this. I mean, in each of these states, these jurisdictions, you need legislation, you need a law, a rule book, if you will. And oftentimes the rule book is really a function of, well, what's the other guy doing? You know, you look over your walls and see what the other guys are doing, and then you try to improve upon that.
And so you ask them what they did right and wrong, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah. And so you go back and say, well, gee, all right, we want to do this, we want to do that. So the net of it is, and I've said this before, here we are now in the state of Maryland, and in 2021, the General Assembly put together probably the most comprehensive sports wagering legislation in the country. I suppose it could be debated, but I don't know why you'd take the effort to debate that. We have the potential.
What does that mean, comprehensive? Meaning that this is the most recent one, and we're taking all the other malls that were built and trying to build the right one, right? I mean, like, and that takes more time too, right? Because you're trying to.
It takes more time, and I think there were, you know, are a number of well-intentioned people who want to make sure that, again, the diversity, the inclusionary practices are in place. We have the potential to license up to 107 sports wagering entities. The next largest number of states or entities is Colorado with 25. There's a big gap between 25 and 107.
And this is what you're trying to do. And maybe this speaks to the Maryland Crab Cake Tour, which, by the week away this week, is at Nick's and Timonium there. And the races were on. I was at Rockin' at the race the other day, and I'm looking forward. Tommy's an old friend. He was a sponsor of mine down on Cross Street in 1994. We did the math. Wow. It was before the Ravens were here. Literally, it was come yeah. by before an Oriole game and have an oyster. And that's how long I've been knowing him. So he came up to me, and I'm like, crab cakes, and here we are with the tour. So, I guess for where this is and trying to answer it, it's coming pretty soon, though, right? I mean, like, we're not years out on this anymore, and we're past that. Are they going to build the slot machine, which I did for 20 years here, right? I mean, I've been at this a long time. I think we're getting closer. That's what you want the message to be here.
We're getting closer, and the Maryland Lottery and Gaming Control Agency is doing the best we can, as fast as we can, as efficiently and within the guidelines, within the white lines that have been drawn for us to make that happen. And we're very anxious that our partners will do the job that they're required to do as well, and that at the end of the day, everyone will be pleased with the end product, and you and I can talk about it at a whole other level of conversation.
Then. Well, when you said 100, it was 100, 408 was the number?
107, but who's counting?
Okay. I always get it wrong with Rob Santoni too, with which store number he is, 206, 204. I'm trying to learn. Sure. But for that, that means that some of the places I went on the Crab Cake Tour, Leonardtown, other regular places in other places would have an opportunity that somebody on the Eastern Shore doesn't have to drive to the city, somebody from Cumberland, that it will be available to regular folk and not just the big shots from Vegas, right? I mean, that's kind of where we are.
And that's the intent behind the legislation. That's why the Maryland legislation is as comprehensive as it is. Just a quick comparison, not to make it apples and apples, but the state of Arizona recently, I believe they had their legislation signed off same time we did back in May of this year, but they were offering 20 licenses, 10 of them to the tribal casinos and out west, particularly tribal lands and casino packs really operate outside of some of the regulations. So that was an easy thing to do. You have 10 tribal location casinos, they get 10 licenses. The other 10 are going to sports franchises. Done. You know, they're implementing it now, but they have a much leaner process, not nearly as comprehensive as ours. I mean, the names are pretty well identified. You knew what you're going to do, and they're done with it. Here, we've got a lot of ways to attack the marketplace, and many of them, unfortunately, haven't even been documented yet by SWARC in terms of regulations and who can apply and when and those types of things. So we still have a long way to go.
Well, I love that you come on the show because you got a lot of splaining to do, as Lucy and Ricky would say. I remember Lucy and Ricky as a scratch-off. Well, listen, next time I want to talk scratch-offs and all that. And, give love to all my places and $100,000 prize at Royal Farms in Aberdeen. Yes. So, I'm just going through this, and I take note of all of this. The Wise had a $10,000 prize on East Joppa Road. So I just want to give a little local love to my sponsors and say it's another – this was really a Wise conversation because, putting the sports together with what we're doing here and trying to educate people, because this is – I'm not a dumb guy, but I'm a little perplexed by all how this is really going to work, other than I walk into a place and I can bet $5 on the Ravens or any other team I want. I would never bet on the Steelers, maybe against them. But, but the fact that I'll be able to do that like I was in Vegas, that's a little bit of a weird – like a lot of other things that are legal now that weren't 5 years ago, or laws that change, there's going to take a little, not a little education, but a lot of getting used to it, I think, for people my age, right?
It is education. I would invite all your listeners and viewers to go to mdgaming.com, and we try to keep that current with what is the status of things. So should be your first source for all things sports wagering related, mdgaming.com.
All right. We'll see you next week. I didn't give you a hard time about the Browns. I'm not too, getting too high on myself because the Ravens needed overtime and come back and everybody fell asleep on the game. And but Lamar is something, right? I mean, I just want to say that, leave it at that. But he is, it really is. This is fun. You let yourself play. I mean, he lets himself play,
There's going to be more fun to be had, but it's an exciting time. And ultimately we're going to have to go toe to toe on this, but for now it's fun.
Yeah, these night games have been fun, but I'm ready for some 1 p.m. football. We'll get back to that. John Martin, the director of the Maryland Lottery Gaming, coming on with true wise information this week, especially for our sports fans out there in the middle of sports season. See you next week. And hey, I'm going to have like hats and cups and stuff like that. I have an old hat from one of the, I'm afraid it's the different like logos have changed. Oh, yeah. I don't want to be not brand right. You know, I mean, I already wearing Chicken Palooza 2 months after Chicken Palooza, and Elodie Nada got me hungry the other night. So, but it's been a big week around here. Great to have you on. All right.
Thanks, Nestor. Good
Maybe
to talk
we'll visit
to you.
One of these Fridays over a real crab cake. I mean, who knows? But
absolutely need to do that.
Appreciate you. All right, we're going to be at Nick's this week at the Grandstand Grill in Timonium, a place I've been many, many times, or as the coach would say, Timonium. And we'll be having a crab cake there. And that's Friday. It's the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery. And John Martin joins us each and every week. And I'm Nestor. We are WNST AM 1570. We never stop talking. Baltimore, positive.